Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I think about, when you think about rights, they're called constitutional rights. Mm. And I encourage you to get a copy of the Constitution and carry it. Get it while you can. Get it in paper. Don't have it digital. And begin to read it and to understand it, because everything in America, under the hand of God, is holding us together is the Constitution. Mm. Washington, D.C. exists only because of this little small document. I mean, everything, Supreme Court, President, the Congress, their powers. I mean, all that stuff's right here. The fact that you can't just get pulled over and somebody search you without probable cause. The fact that we can be right now talking on television to you about all these things.
It's really
First
is
Amendment.
An amazing document.
Yeah. I mean, the very fact that if somebody comes to try to take away, you know, your freedom or your steal your things, you can defend your family with force. You know, Second Amendment, that you have a right to a trial of your peers, to evidence to be presented and face your accuser. I mean, these are all certain, the first 10 amendments.
Speedy trial, yeah.
Very important. Yeah, speedy trial. That, so civil rights is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everyone. The sad thing about our history is that our African-American brothers and sisters didn't get their civil rights for a long, long period of time. And then when, you know, after 100 years of people saying they had them, there still had to be the 1964, you know, civil rights amendments and civil rights, yeah, I believe, amendments or laws that were passed. Mm-hmm. And so that's when all of us started coming to a more perfect union, is what Dr. King mm-hmm. wanted us to be. And so... so when you hear about civil rights, realize you need to know your civil rights, because we're called to be civil Christians in a civil land. And we're going to talk more about that. What does that mean? We have civil Christianity that you can get connected with, which is so important, very important. But first, they're talking about swinging elections. What that really means is there's a close election. You know, it was a handful of votes that determined who was going to be the president between Gore and Bush. Mm. And Florida was remember the hanging Chad. That was literally a swinging Chad. In a swinging state.
Yeah.
And so if, in fact, John could give us the exact numbers, but it's like 35% of Christians, I believe it is, 35 million didn't vote, didn't register.
54 million.
Understand, you're the secret key to determining where this country's going to go. But it's not just showing up and pulling a lever. It's actually getting educated on who that is. And I'm looking at elections right here. You can see some very close elections on your screen right here. I mean, think about Thomas Jefferson. When Thomas Jefferson was elected to be the president, it was by 73 votes.
Wow, 73.
Yes. And
means 73 individuals, right?
73 electoral, you know, votes in the context
true.
Of that.
That's true.
And that's in 1800. And in 1876, you know, Rutherford Hayes and Samuel Tilden, one was 185 and one was 184. But look at it. I mean, one particular candidate had the popular vote of 4,033,768, and the other one had 4,285,992. They're just so close. I mean, look, even at Woodrow Wilson, think wow. about this. Look at me for a moment. Think about this. If Woodrow Wilson did not make, if he didn't get voted for, if he lost the election to Charles Hayes here, for example.
Hughes,
my glasses on. That means the United Nations is sitting in Florida might not exist. It literally might not even be there today. I mean, you think about that. Woodrow Wilson is the one that formulated the League of Nations, and he pressed for it. He ran for office of saying that we're not going to go to war. We're just not going to go to war. This is not what it's about. And then he went and got in office. He sent educators out to educate the public why we need to go to war, and he took us to war.
No United Nations in New York. Completely would have been gone.
It could very well be gone. Think about this. Our current president right now. Let's just say he didn't get elected. All this stuff that happened over the last, you know, 7-8 years.
Yeah.
It may not even exist. Maybe America's leaders would be friends with Israel still.
Mm.
It matters when you think about this. But look at that. So you're looking at Woodrow Wilson here in the election that he had in 1916. And it was the Electoral College was 277 and Hughes was 254. But look at that, 9 million to 8 million. So you're looking about, it was 8 million, 8, 8.5 million and 9.1 million. So you're looking at like 500,000 people determined that we're going to have the United Nations or not. I mean, think about those folks. For God's going, listen, I gave you a country. It's a government by the people and for the people. And you didn't even go out and vote. And now you're complaining about the United Nations.
Yeah, responsibility.
Yeah, where Israel's pleading for its life in September of 2015. And they're just, he's staring the nations down for 45 seconds. We had that on the program. Mm. And he's saying, you know, we're having to do that because of Woodrow and what took place and in these different, because what happened was he had the League of Nations. That was his thing. We have a whole program on that. We'll just make it related. You can find it on VFNTV.com. But out of that, when World War II happened, they took his plans for Leagues for Nations, League of Nations, and made the United Nations out of it. He had the foundation and gave his life towards, this is what he believed. If we tie people's money together, then we'll never go to war together.
Yeah, that works.
And so today, when China is manipulating the currency, when Russia is coming down because of the oil prices into Syria to be able to take over the oil, when, you know, we're in the financial crisis that we are, you can thank Woodrow Wilson for that. And everybody who did vote for him or those who didn't vote at all. Mm. And 54 million folks, you will determine. Listen, you'll determine. Think about this. Determine this. I mean, you heard what CARE community, Arab and Council of Arab and American Relations, Islamic Relations, they're saying, hey, you know, we want, as Americans, and they can do that. We want to participate in the process, and we want to swing these elections towards, for example, back then it was towards Woodrow.
Yeah, and they have confidence that with 1 million, they're just waiting for 1 million.
And we have 54 million that didn't vote.
They didn't vote.
There's much more than that.
It's close to 100 evangelicals.
100 million.
Yeah, 100
wow.
million.
Amazing. So look at this other elections real quick, like John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon. Well, you think about those guys.
Wow.
Well, you're looking at how much? 100,000 votes. 100,000. Think about this. 100,000 people determined who was going to be president. I mean, think about it. If, in fact, that Kennedy wasn't elected, maybe he'd still be with us today.
Wow.
You know? I don't know the politics back then, but Richard Nixon, look how close they were in the context of that. Richard Nixon lost by 100,000 votes or something.
100,000 votes.
A popular vote in America. So 54 million of you, us, 100 million total, but 54 million did not vote.
Which means they chose to stay home and not play
a vote.
A participatory.
Which is a vote.
Yeah.
It's a vote. It's a vote. And they go, we'll have all these available for you. But even like George, right here in most recent 2000.
Well, look at Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford. I mean, again,
close. 700,000 votes determined that Carter, who gave away the Panama Canal, who's been reportedly up until the time of our current president, statistically the worst president that we had had.
Yeah.
That's what people are saying. Who, by the way, you know. Anyway, the worst president that we've ever had, but now we're seeing worse things take place. But then you look at George W. Bush and Al Gore. I mean, you're looking at, what, 500,000 votes determined out of a 300 million people in our country.
Wow.
Christians will determine the outcome of this thing. But it's not just being Christian or saying you're Christian. It's actually voting the way that Jesus – how would Jesus vote? I mean, how would he vote? He voted to give his life for us.
Well, think about that. Think about that election, because it was most recent – reports are that it was the panhandle of Florida, every single vote that came out of panhandle for Florida, that really took the state of took the whole state of Florida. Think about
that. Yeah.
Which won winning the entire country.
Right.
We've never had probably an election that was
the Supreme
that
Court ruled
thin.
On it.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court actually ruled on it. Again in 2004, happened the same way, but with John Kerry and with George W. Bush again.
Mm.
And this is the thing is, you know that now, you need to get registered to vote. If you're not registered, you can't vote. And if you don't vote, that is a vote. And when countries switched power historically outside of America, it was done with violence. It was done with uprisings. It was done with throw them out. You know, and they show up with pitchforks and clubs. I mean, they showed up to physically remove somebody. And that's the way it was pretty much done up until this experiment called America, where we vote. So you think about how aggressive that was historically in other nations when they would, I mean, we had to do it with Great Britain to get our freedom in an American Revolution.
Violent.
It was violent. I mean, we asked for it. They didn't give it to us. And so we had to take it by force.
And we gave them 27 reasons. We laid out
27 reasons. And so think about this. Think about getting educated on who's running for office. Vote like Jesus voted. You know, who would Joseph vote for? Well, he laid down his life for us. If you'll vote in a way with the fear of God while you're abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't vote your wallet, don't vote money, don't vote your political preference. You know, vote with the fear and trembling of the Lord, yeah, knowing that you're going to answer before God, because that's how violent that is. I mean, it's so violent that when you flip that switch or push that chat out or ever how you vote, I mean, that's historically people were just in. They legitimately shifted powers when this happened and this new leader would come in. You get a chance to do that. When you stand up for your rights as a citizen of America, a Christian citizen, you are, it's a violent thing, believe me, because it's going to be an uprooting of the darkness and the liberal viewpoint of our country, which is totally opposite of our founding fathers and the original intent for this nation, totally opposite in how we would actually relate to the democracy called Israel in the Middle East. But you can determine, I mean, think about this. If you're going to be sent to war based on your vote, if they're going to draft you into war, whether you're a man or a woman, because now they've voted the whole thing in, and you knew if you voted this particular person, they're going to send you to war. They're going to create war. Somebody's going to say, I had it up to here. We're going in and we're going to do damage. That means your sons, your daughters, and possibly you are going to be drafted into the military. You're going to have to go fight for this person that you wouldn't even had a cup of coffee with, but you didn't choose to vote for the counterpart of that. So by not voting, it's sort of like, you know, America's fighting for its freedom. And you're sitting on your front porch going, well, I hope it works out, guys. Let me know how it goes. And it's like, they're going to be angry with you because it's like, you should have helped out with the fight. Like Gideon, when Gideon was trying to do what God told him to do. And he's fighting for the freedom of a nation. He's called by God. He was so upset with people that wouldn't come out and help him. And of course, that was God's plan.
And sometimes there is a time to fight. There is a time for war. The question is it a just war? Is it the right thing to do at the right time and do? Is this person going to be able to walk this thing out and not leave wounded people all over the place? You know,
But rest assured, if you have somebody that's stirring up strife over the entire globe, somebody's going to go to war. Would you want that person, you know, sending you what they call a just war? There wouldn't be a just war.
Right.
I believe World War III's already started.
Yeah,
and you can determine its outcome by who you decide to vote for. The fear of the Lord. I encourage you. You know, we'll talk more about this. We get back from the break about civilchristianity.org. You need to get alert. You need to be aware that the CARE organization and the Muslims, and they're hoping that a million Muslims will be activated, and that's what they're hoping. But if we have 54 million, over 100 million, but 54 million that just need to wake up and go to the polls and vote, I mean, this could be a sure thing.
If half of the 54 million voted,
we'd swing the whole nation back to you know, its original intent. Well, we'll talk more about this in civil Christianity. And we get back, but first I want you to hear, you know, Bernice King. This is the daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King talking about civil rights and God's assignments.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
CivilChristianity.org. We're called to be civil Christians in a Christian land. What is, read the definition, John, of what, and from the Noah Webster's original 1828 dictionary, when our founding fathers are putting this together, you know, what does civil actually mean? Because some people think it's civil rights. Some people think it has nothing to do with Christianity. But if it's a government by the people and for the people, we have a responsibility. We're obligated as citizens to be civil Christians. So what does that mean?
Civil, relating to the community or to the policy and government of the citizens and subjects of a state, relating to any man as a member of a community, as civil power, civil rights, the power or rights which a man enjoys as a citizen. Noah Webster, 1828.
So this is what civilchristianity.org is. We have to begin to get involved again as Christians into the civil atmosphere of our society. I mean, there's so much isolationism in regards to, you know, Christians in these buildings. But when it comes out to the school board, well, not necessarily, I don't know where.
The society.
Society itself. Or, you know, in your business realm or in your government realm, in your education realm, in your media realm.
Family.
Everybody's kind of like silent going, I'm a Christian, but I can't say much. And it's like, we are supposed to be participating in the civil process,
mm-hmm.
which means participating in elections. I mean, when you become an American citizen, one of the things they tell you in the citizenship test is, you know, that you're supposed to vote.
You have a responsibility.
You have a responsibility to vote. And an educated vote's important. And so civil Christianity is, you know, where we're beginning to just say, you know, if you're interested in what we're talking about, becoming civilly active, you know, as other Christians have in our past that got us to this point, then you need to come and join us. But what we have is a 10 commitments that Dr. King had everyone sign that we're going to walk with him and march with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was so important because there's so many different things going on. There's people that are calling themselves Christian, but you're trying to find their DNA in Scripture, and you're like, what you're saying about that man is not anywhere.
I don't see
it. Doesn't
that
say that, or you know, it's just you know, these. And so we have 10 commitments that the same ones that Dr. King had people sign that would walk with him, maybe just a little bit, you know, updated to, you know, where we are right mm-hmm. now. And you can sign that. What's so interesting and helpful for you and us is that you're going to know somebody who's walking with you sign those same 10 commitments.
Right.
So you know that no weird thing is going to pop up all of a sudden. You know, in that agreement, what you're going to do is go to civilchristianity.org. That's civilchristianity.org and read over the 10 commitments. If you want to be able to take that pledge, that commitment to walk with us, and we're just, it doesn't take many. It takes agreement. It takes unity. And you'll be a part of that. And we'll begin to let you know everything that's taking place as we follow the Lord's lead in this specific thing of being civil Christians in a civil land. We have moments left to wake up in 2016, and I believe we will when we hear the Lord's lead. As a matter of fact, I think about, you know, Dr. King specifically and what he said. Take a look.
Men will recognize that out of one blood, God made all men dwell upon the face of the earth. Let us be dissatisfied until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power and human power.
This is so,
wow.
So very important. And wow, look what Dr. King did and the tragic ending that took place. But you know what? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I can imagine what it was like when he made it to heaven and he stood faithful to the call on his life. You know, it was a call by God and his assignment was the civil rights. Well, it is here again. We need to stand up as Christians and say, this is the time. This is the place. I think about, you know, Billy Graham. He stood with Dr. King, and he stood in a way that said, we got to begin to preach the gospel that changes the heart of men, that brings things together. It was an amazing thing. But we need to do that today. But we have to stand together, united in Christ. Let's pray right now. Father God, I thank you for those that have gone before us, Lord. I thank you for those that stood, even when they had to stand alone, God. Those that heard the wisdom from heaven about, you know, pledge cards and saying, you know what? We need to know, how can two walk together lest they agree? And this wisdom that Dr. King had brought out that you shared with him, God, I just pray right now, even now, Lord God, instead of complaining about what we're seeing other Americans do and they have the right to do, that we wake up ourselves and say, you know what? I'm going to be a civil Christian in the civil land. I'm going to be active and I'm going to be in unity with others that are walking the same way. Lord, I just pray for each and every one that are watching and listening, a grace to be informed a grace to get registered and a grace not only for them to vote, but them to encourage others to be able to go out and participate in this process. These 54 million would just wake up. Lord, we just ask you for that, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We pray in Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.